Well, the Spirit of the Lord spoke really through me in teaching on one of our Tuesday teachings. I was teaching on some things, and there just kept things coming up to me on the areas of righteousness, and I said, I'm going to have to go back over and teach on righteousness some. I didn't know if I was going to do it on Tuesdays or where I would do it, and then I just got a sense that I was supposed to do it on Sunday mornings, go back over and teach in the areas of righteousness. It's an important thing because really there are keys to having strong faith. And understand this, and Scripture tells us without faith you can't please God. You know, over the years I've had people tell me that I talk about faith too much. Well, I'm in the business of pleasing God. I notice people that don't like faith don't please God a lot. And if you don't like the faith message, well, then you like pleasing God because there's no other way to please God. God's not interested in all of your performance, you know. People just keep trying to impress God. I found out a long time ago, I can't impress God. What am I going to do that's going to impress Him? Say, boy, you're really something, man. Get up here and sit down. Boy, you really got it. You know, if it isn't Him working through me, all you got is me. And it's the same way with you. That's all we got is you. And that's not very interesting, is it? And, the whole thing of it is we want God manifesting in our life. And one of the keys we need to deal with, especially, if we want to have strong faith is based upon understanding or comprehending righteousness. And I titled our series we're going to be teaching on righteousness is a righteous consciousness. And we need to understand, we use the word consciousness here, but dealing with this, you know, being conscious of something, to actually being conscious. You know, we may be able as Christians, and sometimes we can quote scriptures and we know things, we have information. But consciousness is what you live in and what you walk in every day. The Bible tells us the just live by faith. We live by faith. That's our everyday life. You don't park your faith at church and then go and live, you know. I hear people say this in Christians all the time. Well, this is out in the real world. I had ministers say that to me. Yeah, that's really good, but out in the real world. And I look at them and say, yeah, you're talking about your worldly life, where you live in the flesh and where you walk in the flesh and you don't please God. That's what you're talking about. The real world for me is the world of faith in God. That's every day walking, every day living by faith. Every day. You know, today, you know, we have all this stuff out here. If the government tells somebody, they don't know, well, you don't bring your, you know, faith to work or you don't do this and that. People buy it and listen, they get all upset. Well, I'm going to go to court and get my right. I'm going to tell you, God told you to live by faith. It don't matter what they say. But the whole thing of this, people are afraid. Well, if I live by faith, I'll lose my job. I remember years ago, I worked at Reese Candy Company, and they called me in about my faith. And I just got right in their face about it and told them. See, I ain't giving up my faith for nothing. I said, you guys, by law, you come in here. I said, you gamble, do all kind of things, run betting things, which is illegal and everything else. And you're telling me I'm illegal. I said, look, I don't care. You can fire me, but I'm going to be following Jesus and walking with Jesus. If you don't like it, that's your problem. And I said, it's going to be bad for you because you lose the good worker and you got to put up with the rest of the bums that you like, the ones that don't do anything, the ones that rip you off. But, you know, they'll play with you. But I tell you, I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to lose my job over things, you know. My words, if they lock me up in prison, I won't quit preaching. They'll get upset me there because I'll be preaching there. What are they going to do to me, you know? Dear God. So, you know, we got to get over this fear here in America. The church is running in fear. Most of the church world runs in fear. We're trying to get people to like us. You know, Jesus never tried to get anybody to like Him. You know, my words, He didn't do it. If He was trying, He didn't do a very good job. They crucified Him. He didn't. We're, you know, the idea that you get people to like you to reach you. You know, no, understand this. Jesus said they hated me, they're going to hate you. You understand, people don't, you know, it ain't the, when I was a sinner, I didn't like to hear the idea that I was a sinner and, you know, that I was a problem in this world. I didn't like hearing that, but I still needed to hear it. Because, you know, if people won't listen to the message that's true, they ain't going to get saved. So people need to hear these things. But we need to, as a church world, we need to gain in a consciousness. In other words, we become conscious of things. It isn't enough that, say, I go to church or things, I'm reminded of things. To live successful as a Christian, you have to live in a consciousness of it all the time. You have to be conscious of who and what you are. You know, and it's sometimes hard to do from the standpoint because you have so many Christians and even ministers that are always preaching, you know, really, you know, well, you're just an old sinner. Telling the saints you're an old sinner. Well, old sinners go to hell. There ain't going to be any old sinners in heaven. You know, they teach us, they go out here and say, well, you know, Jesus died on the cross for your forgiveness of sin. You know, that was one thing, but you know, before Jesus died, Israel had forgiveness of sin. If Jesus only died for forgiveness of sin, he wasted his time, went to a lot of trouble for nothing. Jesus died so men could be born again. So men could be taken from spiritual death to spiritual life. That's what he did. The new birth is why Jesus died and rose from the dead. If men weren't born again, it was a worthless thing. It was worthless. It's so men can be born again so we can become children of God. See, for a Christian to live a successful life, they're going to have to live with a consciousness of who they are. That the Word of God says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. I'm a new creation. I am not the person I was when I was lost in sin. I am not that person anymore. Most Christians identify more with sin than they do with God. That is their identity. That's their consciousness. And they wonder why weakness of faith. Christians are, you know, all the time walking around in the consciousness of their failures, of where they missed the mark. They're all things that turn around and diminish your faith and keep you in the area of weakness and failure. That wasn't God's intent for that. You know, last year, when I was down with at a restaurant with a minister, and anyhow, we were checking out. He said something to the girl who was at the register, and he asked her. He asked her a thing about she was a Christian. She went through this thing. She didn't say outright out she's a Christian. What she said is, "Well, I go to church down here." Well, going to church don't make you Christian. I mean, going to church is nice and it's good, but it doesn't make you Christian. But she went through the thing and she said about yes. And when he finally talked to her, have you accepted Jesus? Oh, yeah, yeah. But she, right away, she blurted this out, just come right out of her mouth. Well, we're all just sinners. And I looked at her and I said, do you ever read the Bible tells you where sinners are going to end up? And she just looked at me real dumb. And I just said, the Bible says, you know, sinners they're lost. They're going to hell. I said, if you're a sinner, you're not a child of God. I said, have you ever been born again? Well, she said, you know, accepting, this is what a lot of people say, we accepted Jesus. Are you born again? See, this is the whole thing. You have a hard time today to get Christians to even mouth the thing out. You know, and understand this, the Lord spoke to me back some time ago and said to me, he said, I didn't give the Christian the name Christian. He said, the world gave him that name. He said, I call them believers. Well, you start talking about believing today, and man, half the Christian world don't even know what you're talking about because they don't believe nothing. Most of the Christian world out here is hardly believing a thing. They don't even know anymore if it's a virgin birth or not a virgin birth. They don't know anymore. They're out here wandering all over the place. They're all over. It's just like that dear girl. She's standing there. She's saying, we're all just sinners. The Bible does not talk in any way like that about the believer. Doesn't say it at all. But yet, why? A sin consciousness is preached in her church. Her church preaches to her, you're just going to sin. You can't get people to quit sinning and keep telling them they're going to sin. My God, you're doing nothing but promote it. Dear Lord, is that what the church world's supposed to do, is promote sin? Well, see, if people have a sin consciousness, which she does, that poor girl did, I will guarantee you, she has faith for nothing. Her faith ain't going to work at all because she could never see herself pleasing God. Why? I'm just an old sinner. You know, Jesus just forgave me, but I'm still the old dirt bag I always was. But you know, we need to understand this. We might sit and say, well, we know different than that, but I want to tell you, what I want to know is what you're conscious of when you're living during the day regularly. What are you conscious of? You might sit here and say, yes, I agree with you, Pastor. I agree with what you're saying, yeah, about the Word of God. Yes, but when we're out there in everyday life, you're going to get no more out of life than what you're conscious of and you walk in. If you're conscious of your failures, if you're conscious of more of your shortcomings, if you're conscious of more of what things in the world going on around you, and those are the things that you're more conscious of than God, you're going to have a problem. The things of God got to become real to you. They got to become the things in your conscience that your conscience thinks of. When something comes against you, you got to have your consciousness got to think automatically right away. You know, I've been around people when emergencies arrive. I've been around, like say, with Christians. An emergency arrives and they go into a panic just like the world. So I know right away what's in their consciousness. They're not conscious of God. They don't call on God right away. Man, they're going to call on every natural thing to try to help and fix the problem. And then when we get things under control, let's pray. That's what most Christians do. Most Christians do exactly why? Because they don't live in a consciousness of God. They're not conscious that God lives in them. You know, it is not enough to say God lives in me. I tell you what, I'm conscious of God living in me. I know He's there. If you don't know He's there, then you're spouting words. We start off by faith believing, but sit down and read 1 John sometime. John talks about you come to knowing. If you don't ever arrive at knowing, your faith ain't produced yet. I operated by faith to get born again, but now I'm not believing I'm born again. I know I'm born again. I'm not believing it's arrived. When it's arrived, you know it. You know, there's times I was sick, believed God for healing, and God healed. When the healing came, I knew it. I wasn't still believing for it. You and I are supposed to know that we're saved. We're supposed to know that we're children of God. We're supposed to know these things. We're supposed to be conscious of it. When somebody asks, we shouldn't talk like we're trying to believe it. We should be saying, I know it. See, I know I'm a child of God. People say, well, you know, Jesus comes. Are you going to go? Are you going to go off with Him? Well, sure I am. I'm a child of God. I'm born again. I know it. You know, well, have you ever messed up? Yes, I messed up, but I know He forgives me. I don't think about it. I don't try to believe it. I know it. I know it. So you got to come to the place. There has to be a consciousness. And that's why I'm talking, before we begin into this, I'm just sort of trying to describe in the direction we're talking about. You must come to a consciousness of being righteous. If you don't, your faith is always going to be weak. Always. It's always going to be weak. You must come to a place where you are conscious of righteousness. If you don't, you'll never have strong faith. You will always be weak in the presence of God. You know, Jesus said you could ask anything of the Father in My name and He'll give it to you. Now, here in our church, most of us, we know that. There's other people, they know that. The Bible, you know, people quote those scriptures and they quote those things. But let's be honest, most of the church world can't get it to work. And why can't they get it to work? Well, they know it's true. You say to them, well, you know, it's like with us. Now you can find churches that they don't believe the Bible's true. You know, they go through the religious motion. But I'm talking about people believing the Bible true. They'll say, oh yeah, the Bible's the Word of God. It's true. God can't lie. Well, if that is really true, see, then there's some kind of a problem, because if this prayer thing for me don't work, then there's something wrong. Now, I've already figured this out, so you don't have to go back and think about it. There's nothing wrong with God. So where's the problem? The problem's with us. The problem is with us. It's what we're conscious of. See, if you but today, see, one of the things that has happened in the church world today is why we've gotten so much of fluff teaching. You know, you go on TV and they're always just talking about nice fluffy things. You know, everything's going to work out all right. Everything's good. Everything's wonderful. Yes, and God bless you. Send your check and God will do everything you ever needed. You know, one of those jobs. But they do those things. But the reason they don't talk about sin, they don't talk about those things, is because it's not because they're worried about people getting a sin consciousness. It's number one, if you do sin, you should be conscious of that. But the reason they do it is because of this. See, when you get over and people start getting over and off, like Mike was talking about this morning, seek the kingdom first. Well, see, there's a lot of people and even ministers have a lot more priorities than seek the kingdom first. So what happens is what happens with people, you get off course. Now, you have a problem because you're trying your best. Because number one, I know this, if I want my prayers answered, I got to be able to approach God boldly. Or my prayers ain't going to get answered. I have to have confidence. The Bible tells you what we have confidence. It says, John wrote and said, if we have this confidence, we have to ask anything according to His will, He hears us. If I know that He hears me, then I know I'll have the petition I request of Him. That's a powerful statement. You know, anybody said, I asked God something according to His will, and He said no, that man's a liar. John said. John walked with Jesus, you know that? John walked with Him, and John taught what Jesus told them to teach. If you find out that writing was, he said, he was telling the people in that letter about the things that Jesus, what he heard and said from Jesus. And he told people that. See, if I ask God for anything according to His will and I don't get it, there's something wrong with my faith. There's never been. God never said no. If He did, John lied. And Jesus is a liar. That's an impossibility. If you can prove to me John lied when he said that, if John made the statement, said, hey, you know, sometimes he says yes, sometimes he says no, and sometimes he says wait till later, it ain't there. That has been added, and the reason people add it is their weakness of faith. Because we don't want to blame ourselves for being weak in faith. It must be God holding back from me. Because, my God, I'm just so spiritual. Dear Lord, couldn't be nothing wrong with Ed, so God must be messed up. And so what we do, we begin to preach, and what happens to people is, like today, we have this weakness in things in teaching because of sin consciousness. And they don't know how to get around it. They don't know how to deal with it today. So what they do, they try to hide talking about sin, thinking, oh, well, then people won't have a sin consciousness and they'll have a boldness of faith. Yet people's faith's getting weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker. You know, less and less people go to churches, less and less people are involved with God, less. Why is it? Well, it's a man's approach. Man's problem, man don't see what it is. There's only one thing that man can do in standing before God. Nobody can stand before God without righteousness. You can't do it. It's an impossibility. You can't approach God. If you don't have righteousness, then you're going to be ashamed coming to Him. You're going to be weak. This is one thing as people. If you don't have boldness of faith, one of your major problems is you don't know about righteousness. I found this out. If I was going to understand righteousness and I would understand it, it was going to make me bold. Righteousness makes you bold in the face of God, and that's what God wants. God wants people bold. God wants us to come boldly to the throne of grace. He said, come boldly to the throne of grace to receive mercy and to find grace to help in time of need. In other words, He made that statement, why would you be going for mercy to God if you haven't done something wrong? You're asking for mercy because you messed up. You don't need mercy if you didn't do anything wrong. And He said, you're supposed to come bold to get mercy. Here's what the church world teaches. You go grovel to God, crawl on your hands and knees and act like, poor old me, wail and cry, and then ask Him to forgive you. And if you're bald enough and act sad enough, then He'll forgive you. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Boy, the Protestants have been making fun of the Catholics over penance, and the Protestants are champions at it. The Protestants are champions at penance, trying to convince God to forgive me. I don't have to convince God for 2 seconds to forgive me. He is the guy who decided He wanted to do that. I ain't got to beg Him to do it. He's already stated His position on it. If you confess your sin, He's faithful and just to forgive you. End of subject. If you go beyond that, you're in sin. Many Christians sin when they go to God. It's one of the best places they sin, is going through all their rigmarole and all through their religious shenanigans instead of walking to God, to the Word. We go with our junk, trying to get God to fix stuff He's already fixed. And He looks at you like, what on earth are you doing down there groveling around? He said, come boldly to the throne of grace to receive mercy. Find grace to help in time of need. He didn't say, come, I want you to whine a long time and then maybe someday we'll get this thing straightened out. His idea was to forgive you, turn this thing around, give you, God's grace. Grace is, we always say, is God's unmerited favor. Grace, most of the time, talked about in the New Testament, speaking of God's ability working in you. See, the church don't even know what grace is anymore. They think it's just grace is trying to, you know, get by. God's being good to us even though we're idiots. God don't view it like that at all. That breeds sin consciousness in people. And see, churches have breed sin consciousness and made people feel inferior. You know, I was already inferior. God didn't have to have me get saved to make me feel more inferior. I already felt inferior. I'd already been there, moved in, lived in that. I know what that's like. That's why I was boozing, drugging, doing all that kind of stuff, because I couldn't live with me or you. And you were the same way unless you lied about it. But we sure didn't feel bold toward God. The only thing we ever did was curse God. And we did it at a distance. And I want to read today, I have the scriptures in there because I want to talk to you, because what I'm doing to you today is an introduction, because you to see the importance. Because I want you to understand this, there's key to a strong faith, and it's righteousness. If we look on the scriptures that were in the bulletin there, from Matthew the 6th chapter, I want to read them to you because this is God. Now understand, this is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. I went over these scriptures on Wednesday night in our teaching, but they have to do with righteousness, and I wanted to talk about these. And so we talked about it some. We'll go a little bit different approach toward them, but some of the same things. We're going to look at these. Understand this. This is Jesus Christ speaking. Now, Jesus Christ, when he was in the earth, he was the Son of God, wasn't he? He was a man, and he was in the form of a man, but he was the Son of God. Jesus Christ said he never said anything that the Father didn't say. That's what he said. Now, either he lied about that, but I'll tell you what, I don't believe he lied about it. So in other words, I can take this scriptures because this is directly what Jesus said. I can say this without any, you know, change of thing. This is God speaking. This is God specifically speaking. Jesus said he didn't say anything the Father didn't say. So we have it on that authority. See, I go along with John G. Lake. If Jesus made a statement for something, he's the last word on the subject. I don't care what anybody else says about it. So Jesus is making a statement, and I want us to see this. In verse 25, it starts as, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat, what you'll drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and your body more than clothing? He said, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? He asked the question. He says, God's taking care of the birds. He said, are you more valuable? He asked people the question. Hey, you need to understand, if you're hooked up into the world system, you think animals are more important than God. That's the world system today. Many Christians are tied into it. They love their animals more than they love people. They'll let a guy die and they'll take care of the animals. Even Christians will do that. Why? The world gets in. Here he's talking. Number one, you can never be strong in the presence of God if you see yourself that his creation is more valuable than you are. This is one of the great problems we have. You can't get God moving in a nation when the nation thinks that the creation is more important than the people. People are the most important to God. If people aren't at the top of your agenda, you got the world in you. You need to get that devil cast out of you. Get yourself override. People are the number one agenda on God's. He said, aren't you more valuable? And see, you got to see yourself. In other words, God's speaking to you concerning all his creation. The Bible taught all that God created, all that God is. God says, he asked the question, aren't you more valuable than they are? See, many people need a revelation on that. They think a lot of things are more important to God. You got to get down and see how God views. God views you in relationship to him. He said, aren't you more valuable? Aren't you more valuable? See, you got to see the value of yourself. God's placed a value on you. The value on humanity was so high that God sent his son, paid the highest price that anything could have been paid in the universe to buy you. How could anything else be more valuable? Your care and you being looked after is more important to God than anything for care or looked after in this earth. And you got to see that. See, if you don't, here's what you'll do. You'll worry about life. You'll worry about what you're going to wear. You'll be out here like most people. Well, I'm out here working a job, making a living. He didn't say that at all here about you working a job, making a living. It's already God's plan to take care of you. That's in his plan. His plan is to take care of you. You know what the New Testament says why you're supposed to be working? You're supposed to be working so you have to give. That's what it says. You're supposed to be working so you have to give. See, the church has everything messed up from the Bible because we follow what the world says. The world's trying to make a living. Everybody's trying to do this. I ain't trying to make a living. God already made a living for me, glory to God. Hallelujah! I got a living. I got a God who has made a plan to take care of me. What I got to do is learn to flow in his plan. That's what I got to do. And see, people are not flowing in the plan of God. They have the world's system and the world's way of thinking. I will guarantee you, it will only lead you to one place, inferiority. It's the only place it can take you. The wages of sin is death, folks. And the world ain't nothing but sin. And it'll lead, the world system will lead you to inferiority. You'll labor and work and labor and work, and it still ain't enough. You'll do all your stuff that you do. You got to learn to let God take care of you. So God has a plan for you. He said, he asked the question, what should you, by worry, can add a cubit to your stature? Well, will worry produce anything? No. He's telling you it won't. We live in a world today of worry. You know, I just read off a thing that I had read off this morning there, that 23% of women from 40 to 50 years old are on medication for depression. From 40 to 50, 23% of American women from 40 to 50 years old. When you start down, look at the suicide and all that. You know, the suicide's the number one killer in our military right now. We go to war and you can live longer than you can just... And you know, a lot of this is in the church. A lot of the same spirits in the church world today. People are living under the same anxiety, same worry, same stuff. He says, why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies, let's see, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor reap. He said, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of them. In other words, Solomon, and definitely was, you go back over and read him, Rich. He said he wasn't arrayed. In other words, his clothing wasn't as beautiful as the flowers and things. This is God's opinion. I think we're going to go with God on this one. At least I am. He said he's not. But now listen to what he says to us. He said, consider Solomon. He said, in all his array. He says, now if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, he said, will he not more clothe you, O you of little faith? God just said and made it, here's God speaking. God just said he wants you to have better clothing than Solomon wore. And he said the lilies of the field are better arrayed than Solomon. And he just said here that he wants you better arrayed than they are. Somebody says, well, my words, they spend too much money on clothing. Well, I'm sorry, in God's opinion, they didn't. God wants you dressed better than Solomon. Now, we're doing all this. I could go in and teach, you know, a number of things in here, but I want to go on from here. But he made this statement. He ended it with, oh, you of little faith. You see that? I can guarantee this. We have a whole bunch of oh, ye of little faith today. A whole bunch of because what happens if you don't teach the Word of God, people become sin conscious. This is what... I'm going to please God maybe if I don't dress or spend so much money on my clothing or if I do this. People keep trying to sacrifice to please God. I don't have to sacrifice to please God. My job is to believe God. That is the best thing that I could ever do for God is believe what His Word says and walk around acting like it's true. That's the greatest thing that I could ever do for God. It's all this idea. See, I was born and raised in all this sacrifice. You know, you wear clothing and then you're not allowed to don't put on a tie, do all these things, you know. Don't have your car really, you know, don't make sure it isn't too bright and shiny. Don't have too much chrome on it. Don't get a fancy color. Don't do this. You had all this. This was men's ideas to please God. But what it was based upon, well, they sure didn't believe in being dressed better than the lilies of the field because they would not accept half the colors of the lilies in the field. You weren't allowed to wear it. They'd run you out of town, you know, dear God. God said, I want you to have all this stuff, you know. I always felt so sorry for my mom. My mom was a great flower grower. That woman could take a rock and grow a flower out of it. She was incredible. She'd grow flower beds, huge flower beds and beautiful flowers. And she always loved those colors. And she said in a church would never allow her to wear those colors. You know, you're not allowed to do that. That's a sin. I used to think, all that beauty out there. And they're telling people, you got to look like an old grub or something, you know. You know, a slug that the skunks are trying to dig out of the ground and eat. That's what you are. And I always felt so sorry for them. Because, you know, they didn't, if they'd have read the Bible, they all talk about, oh yeah, we believe the Bible is the Word of God. No, they didn't. They didn't even know what the Bible said. They didn't even know. You know, I'm not throwing rocks. I love my parents. But you know, really, they lived way beneath of what God wanted to give them. God tried on two different occasions to make my dad a millionaire and he turned it down. He didn't know. See, he He thought, you know, you don't go over. God had guys wanted to do things for him and it made him a fortune. And he didn't even have hardly anything that he'd had to even invest in or do a thing. It's because they liked him. He was such a good worker and a good guy. But because of his teaching in his church, he lived beneath what God wanted to do to him. God was trying to bless the man, and he didn't even see it. He thought it was the devil. God was trying to fulfill his word to him. He wanted to. And so, you know, he turned it down. Terrible thing. But listen to what he says. Therefore, he said, don't worry. Now listen to this. This will help you out a lot. This will help you to understand. If you have a worry problem, I'm going to tell you what you got. You got a mouth problem. Jesus is going to say this is God's speaking. He said, therefore, do not worry saying. Therefore, do not worry saying. Do not worry saying. So you got to control your mouth. Or worry will dominate and rule. So he said, don't worry about this stuff. He said, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? Now, I want you to understand this. When Jesus spoke this, if you go back to the beginning of this, you have to go back to the next chapter. There's three chapters of Jesus talking. What we call is, you know, the Sermon on the Mount. Well, the Sermon on the Mount, most people look at the Beatitudes. Jesus said loads of stuff. There's three chapters in Matthew that deal with what Jesus spoke. And this was here. There was a multitude there. In Jesus' day, if you guys remember, I've talked from a history standpoint. In Jesus' day, when he was in those areas ministering, probably about 90% of people were be in the area what you'd call poor. About 90%. It's about 10% of the population had everything in his day when he came. That's when Jesus talked about he came to preach the gospel to the poor. That's the majority of who he was going to preach to. Because most of them are poor. And what's he praying? He's speaking to the poor people. He's trying to tell them why they're poor. There's reasons people are poor. And you can turn around and give them money, and you know what? Next week they'll be poor again. They'll go blow that and do something dumb with it, and they'll be poor again. Because if they don't know what to do, if they don't know how to, you know, that's why it's here in America. You know, we have dumped our nation trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars into, you know, taking care of people. It's really worked well, hasn't it? It's really worked well. Well, it don't, because if people don't think right, you might as well just take the money. I don't know why they did all that wasting time of handing out, why they just didn't flush it down the sewers of Washington right away. We just saved us a lot of time. Because that's about as good as it was. Jesus is telling these people how to make it. He says, now, he tells us this. Now, he's talking to Jewish people who are covenant people, and he says to them, for after all these things the Gentiles seek. Now, what we would do in this, we would say the heathen or the non-Christian we would be speaking of. The Gentile did not have a covenant with God. Not till after Jesus was raised from the dead, then the Gentiles could have a covenant with God. In other words, he's speaking to the heathen. He said, this is what the heathen does. We could say this today, like a teaching out of the New Testament. We could say, this is what the world system does. The world system is geared toward getting stuff. The world system is geared. They're trying to work to have, I got to get stuff. You know, people are worried. What about tomorrow? See, they don't have any kind of confidence that there's a God taking care of them. They don't have that. Many Christians don't have that. They have a sin consciousness. Even if they know God wants them to have it, they figure they can't get it because they're not good enough. But you don't know what I did. I remember talking to my father one time. Now, a born-again man. My father was an alcoholic and when he got saved. And, you know, there was things he dealt about, you know, concerning areas of health. He learned later on about healing. And God, you know, really blessed his life. But he made a statement one time to me. He said, well, you know, when I was a sinner and all this drinking, I did things to my body. And he said, I'm having to live with it. And I said, Dad, why do you have to live with it? I said, I thought Jesus redeemed you and you were born again, that old man that did those dumb things is dead. I said, Dad, you're living like you have to pay the pay penalty for sin. I said, Jesus did that for you so you could be blessed. See, many Christians are like that. They've done things and they, you know, did stuff and I got to pay the penalty. Dear God, I'm glad I ain't got to pay the penalty for what I did because I know where it'll end up hell. See, you can't approach God to have that kind of thinking because you'll always feel inferior. That sin consciousness will always keep you. Your past, And even as a Christian, if you messed up, you told Jesus, you know what, God, you did 1 John 1:9, but still walk away carrying the guilt and acting like God, he still don't like you. You know, he said the blood of Jesus would cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But we don't have a righteous consciousness, so we don't believe that. And so when we get in his presence, we act the same way we did when we were a sinner. We act inferior. We act inferior in God's presence. God doesn't plan that. So listen what he says. This is the stuff the Gentiles seek. He said, listen to this. Your Father knows you need all these things. He said you need them. You need clothing that is arrayed as good as the flowers are, guys. You need. He said, your Father knows you need this stuff. Now, you know, I thought those, if we went down the secondhand shop and just an old pair of jeans would have been good enough, you know. That isn't what he's talking about. He's talking about good stuff. And he said, you need it. You need it. See, this is why we don't have to seek after stuff. God already knows I need the stuff. He's decided I needed it. Why would I want to accept less than what God said he wanted to give me? See, much of Christianity today accepts a lesser salvation than God gave. Most Christians will live their entire life, even though they love God, will live their entire life accepting a salvation that's way beneath what God gave them. They'll live and die with the belief. You know, I'm being humble. You know, God wanted to give me $1 million, but I didn't want the million. I'm being humble. I'm going to take, you know, $50 and do my best. And God looks at it like, what an idiot. You know, people don't realize, but if I know the will of God for me and I do, and I go after something less, that's a sin. To do something less than the will of God is a sin. We don't view it like that. We call it in the church world today, humility. It's being humble. And really what it is, it's stupidity. It's just stupidity. Look, we've all been stupid. But let's get over it. It isn't God's plan. God's plan is not for you to be stupid. God said, God is talking to you today. He's saying, I know you need this stuff. I know you need it. You need good food. You need good clothing. You need a good place to live in. You need this stuff. God ain't making heaven out there this wonderful place and you're supposed to live like hell here and one day go to heaven up there. That is never God's plan. That's a devil's plan for your life. God said the cattle on 1,000 hills belong to me. He didn't say they belong to the devil. He said the gold is mine and the silver's mine, says the Lord. But we let the devil's kids have it all and then turn around and say, I don't want none of these earthly goods. Dear Lord, then ship them to Ed's house. I'll distribute them. No, hey, folks, this kind of thinking makes you inferior in the presence of God. God never intended this. Do you know when Adam, before he sinned, Adam had no sin consciousness. God came down and walked with him, cool the day. Don't say, God walked along and Adam groveled behind him on his hands and knees as they went around in the evening. They weren't doing that. So now, but here it comes. What are we supposed to do? What does God tell us to do? And we need to get a hold of this. You don't hear this much from the financial teaching standpoint, but here is what to do. You start off, if you want to make it in the area and learn how to let God supply to you what he wants to bring to you, here's what you do. Seek first the kingdom of God, and it says, and his righteousness. Most of the church world today is preaching all kinds of things, and over the years I watch, very little does people teach you to seek his, they'll say, oh, seek the kingdom of God. He said, and his righteousness. He said, that's the first thing you're supposed to do. The first thing a Christian is supposed to do, one of the things, the first thing a Christian should learn is about righteousness. See, we wait to, you know, the church world has waited today. Well, some of them don't even preach it. You know, they're talking about, you just, well, you know, we're just this old sinner just trying to get by. Well, they sure ain't teaching righteousness. He said, we need to understand God's righteousness. Why? Because you're going to go nowhere as a Christian if you don't. You will never be confident in the presence of God if you don't understand righteousness. There is no way that you can approach God. There's no way that you can come into His presence. There's no way that you can with any kind of boldness. This is why many Christians, when they do sin, instead of going and asking God to forgive us, they get all into a shame. And what happens? They'll stay away from God 3 or 4 months, 5 months, 6 months, till they finally, well, you know, grovel up to God and say, "Oh, Lord, forgive me, I messed up." They're so ashamed to go to God. They're so ashamed. Why? And it's because of righteousness. They don't know who they are. They don't know who they are. He said, this is the first thing on the agenda. You seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. See, this could be a prosperity message. Is one of the things is you don't have to chase after this stuff. If you understand how it works, it will start chasing you. What did God tell Israel if they did what the Word said under the law? Now, they had the law, thank God, we don't have to do that. But under the law, He told them, if you do all what the law said, He told Israel that they would be blessed going out and coming in. He said the blessing would overtake them. Now, would Israel have a better blessing under the covenant of the law than we got under righteousness? Oh, no. Why? Well, this is Jesus said, you don't have to search for the stuff. The stuff will find you. Hallelujah! You see, most Christians have been taught on a low level of faith of how to get things from God. They've been taught, you know, well, you know, it's write the check, put it in, believe God, get always operate. Loads of things I get from God that I never specifically ever went after. Shows up. Where God will bless. Why? Because if you learn to do what God said to do, you start seeking His kingdom and His righteousness. You know, faith should not be something that we're trying to do. Faith life should become as much natural as breathing is to you and I, is to walk by faith. It shouldn't be a thing we're always trying to, well, I'm trying to have the right confession. See, if you're doing that stuff, you're definitely labored. That's work. It should come to us. You know, it's like I've learned over time and developing as a Christian. I mean, there's things that come along and happen now. I don't even think twice about it. I knew this is what's going to happen. This is what's going to turn out. This is going to take place. And I walk right on from there. I don't make no big deal about it, nothing. I don't make nothing out of it. Why? Because it just is natural. I know that that's going to work because I've been working that thing and I know how it works. I don't have to jump through a bunch of hoops. I don't have to, you know, fast and pray to get God to answer His word. You know, you ain't going to change. If God don't want to do something for you, you can fast and pray till you die and it ain't going to change a thing. Fasting and praying changes us, not God. You know, a lot of people, they ought to fast. They want a good God to do something. If I fast, I'm going to be twisting His arm. No, you're not. I want you to look at a scripture here from Romans, the first chapter, and I want you to see something in this scripture here from Romans, the first chapter. And you can see from a standpoint of the church world has promoted a lot of things, but not what God's promoting. And we need to know that. It doesn't matter they tell things that weren't right, were wrong, but really we have not put the significance on the things that are the most significant. We've made a lot of things significant today that are not big significant things. And we need to understand that because the Bible tells us, we found out here, Jesus made the statement if concerning man's needs in living, He said about how you do to get this stuff. He said, you don't seek the stuff. He said, what that don't work. He said, can you make your stature grow? Can you grow another cubit on there by you worrying and trying to do it your way? Can you make that work? Well, no. He said, this is how you get the stuff. Seek His kingdom and His righteousness. Oh, I thought we were supposed to seek to write checks out to the guy on TV. He said if I give him the check, then I was going to get all the stuff. Thought for sure that's the way you got it. No, he said you seek His kingdom and His righteousness. Now, in Romans, the first chapter, very familiar scripture, but I want you to understand this. This was a scripture really that God dealt with me when I was in Bible school. The Lord started to deal with me in the areas of boldness, and He said He just wanted me more bold. I thought I was pretty bold at the time. But He didn't figure it was being bold enough. You know, I'm just going to tell you this. Most of you ain't near as bold as you should be. You're not even close. You're not even, that's why some things don't work for you, because you ain't bold. Now, I'm not talking about be bold concerning the Word of God. To make statements of what God will do for you. See, we're not bold to say things. We're very timid about stuff because we're afraid it ain't going to work. What if I say it, it don't happen? I gave that up for a bad job a long time ago. Man, just get it out there. You're going to get more done by just be. God will show up if you'll show up. Everybody's waiting for God to show up, then I'll get into it. Yeah. No, you act like it's true. Get out there and get at it. But listen, he says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? The gospel is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. Now listen, he said, he's not ashamed of the gospel. Why? The gospel is the power of God to salvation. That word salvation there is used, could mean deliverance, healing, anything along that line. Because that word is translated out throughout the New Testament, used on different things dealing with the areas of healing, deliverance, and all kinds of stuff. Here it's translated salvation. It is the power of God. The gospel, listen to this, the gospel is the power of God. He said to salvation, in other words, to the deliverance. Men get born again. Man gets born again through the gospel. The power of God through the gospel delivers men, saves them. He said, why does it do it? What makes it work? Why is it so powerful? For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it's written, the just shall live by faith. See, the gospel has no power without righteousness because you'll have diminished faith. Righteousness makes bold faith. People, that's why you the just live. The just, that word just there, that word can be either translated just or it can be translated righteous. It's either way, it's correct from a scriptural standpoint. What? The righteous guy lives by faith. Righteous guy lives by faith. I want you to understand this. There's no other way to live righteous. You're going to have to do it by faith. God will not be impressed with your works. And if you have really great works, it's probably because God's power has been working in you. So it's a good idea not to take credit for it. It's a good idea to give glory to God for it. See, this is where people miss it. One of the things that people get themselves in real trouble and the devil gets into their life is taking glory for what God does through them. You don't ever take the glory for what God does through you. I had my works when they were a sinner. When I was a sinner, and my works weren't very good. Now, today, I have a lot better works, but I know this, it's because of what God did to me. So I can't take credit for being the good guy. If God wasn't working through me. But we need to understand this. So here we go. We find out that the power of God is based in His right, knowing His righteousness. It's in the righteous category. Gee, the church never talked about that. They talk about salvation. They would talk about grace. I'm going to tell you what. If you don't understand righteousness, you might as well just forget the grace subject because you ain't going to get into much of the grace anyhow. Because all of God has and all that God's done toward us is our response in faith to God. And people without righteousness will never walk by faith. Righteousness. Righteousness is how we enter anything. Righteousness. This is one of the areas that Satan has kept the church blind in this area. This is where the weakness of things come. This is why people turn around and they, like scriptures, yet in all things we're more than conquerors through Him who loved us. You know, the scripture says that. You know, the scripture says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Therefore, having been justified or made righteous by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and present you faultless before His presence, the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. The church world puts all that stuff off to the future. You know, I would wonder sometimes why we would need a Bible as big as we got. Because most of the church world and most Christians don't, you know, we say these things. When do I become more than a conqueror? When's that supposed to take place? When is that supposed to happen, that I become more than a conqueror? Is that when I get to heaven? I didn't even think there was anything to conquer in heaven the last time I checked. I didn't think there was anything to conquer there. But see, most of the church world puts off victory off till they die. If I must die to have victory, then Satan is the author of victory and not God. God has been lying to us. The last time I read in the New Testament, the Bible says in the New Testament that death is an enemy. The church basically believes that death is God working. God's working things out. He's killing us. So, you know, it's like the people say, a guy was sick and he died, and they say, he's healed now. Well, if he's healed, what are we burying his body for? That's what was sick, you idiot. You know, the church talks such dumb stuff and says things that are so insane, so crazy. No wonder the world says, let's go to the bar, because there's more sense down there than there is in a lot of churches. God loves you so much, he's going to kill your kid tomorrow. I'll tell you, does he love you? Oh my God, does he love you? You see, these things, these are things that are robbing people. See, if you don't have righteousness and you don't understand righteousness, everything's put off to a future time. You never see yourself as able to come into the presence of God. You never see yourself as able, or you're worthy of what God has for you. You're always trying to attain. You're always trying to do something to get God to like you. Now, you wouldn't say it in those words, but that's exactly what's going on. You know, it's just like people come and do penance. They do something wrong, and God's... I've had people come and, you know, say things to me. Well, you know, I did this, so I told God if he'll turn this around for me, I'll do such and such for him. And I said, that's really nice. When did I look at him and say, when did you become Catholic? I didn't realize you were Catholic. You're going to do penance. I'm going to make this stuff right. Forget it. If we could make it right, then we wouldn't need a 1 John 1:9, would we? Dear God, Ed learned a long time ago, I can't fix my stupid mistakes. And neither can you. And you know what? We're stupid if we're trying to fix them. See, we need to go over and rely on 1 John 1:9. We need to go over there and say, Lord God, I just blew it. I did this dumb thing. This is what I did. I just want to thank you for the blood of Jesus that cleanses me from all sin. Woo! Glory to God! Hallelujah! See, but the Bible says it cleanses me from unrighteousness. In other words, my actions of unrighteousness can be removed by me confessing my sin. That takes faith. That requires faith. I have to believe God removes it. Well, I just still feel like I got this problem. Well, the Bible never said if you felt like you weren't forgiven, then you're not. Who cares what you feel like? You know, my mama, she always thinks she had some kind of disease. She bought this big book, this medical book, and she'd sit down and read this thing, and she'd have everything that said in there. You know, any time a little ache or pain, well, that must be a this or that, another thing. She didn't have none of it. Just because she thought it didn't change a thing. Who cares what you feel? You know, healing don't have a thing to do with about what you feel. Ain't got a thing to do with it. See, we got to get over in our thinking. But what happens is we live in this world over here where we're trying to control this world system, but it breeds inferiority in us, and we don't have confidence in God. We come to God, this righteous God that sent his righteous Son to redeem us. We were ugly, scumbag sinners. Our portion in life was to end up in the future in hell under the judgment of God. And this same God who declared the judgment said, I'm going to redeem them. I ain't going to let this happen. I don't. Oh, no, no, no. This is what's required for justice, but I'm going to fix this thing. I'm going to legally take care of this thing, and I'm going to forgive this ugly bunch of people down here I created, and I'm going to turn this thing around. I'm going to give them the opportunity to have my righteousness. And religion says, oh, no, anything but that. No, no! We want sin consciousness. We want to live like we're evil. Come on, let us go. We want to say God's good, but we're bad. But see, God did all this because he is righteous. It's what, you know, God doesn't have righteousness. He is righteous. You know, just like love. The Bible says God is love. Now, number one, God couldn't have righteousness if he wasn't love. Because it wouldn't be right. Now, understand this. God is righteous. That's what he is. He's a God who is righteous. Never has an unrighteous act. God produces what he is. We got born again. We became what God was. Now, we don't have time today to go. We'll go over as we begin to teach and go through these things. And you go, you, as you begin to look at these things of what God did. You know, just in closing, I want to read to us here from 2 Corinthians 5. Go over to 17 familiar scriptures and we go through these things. But this is, we need to go through these scriptures because we read these things. These things become so generally quoted that people don't even pay attention to the words that they're saying. And what we need to do, the Word of God needs to be analyzed. The Word of God needs to be looked at and meditated on because it's so powerful. Jesus said, the words that I speak, they're life. Man, if they're life, then I shouldn't just do a general read-through. If they're life, I need life. Now, in 2 Corinthians, in the 5th chapter, it says this, in verse 17 of the 5th chapter, 2 Corinthians, it says, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Does it say he's going to be or someday he's going to? If you're in Christ Jesus, in other words, what he's talking about, somebody here who's received Christ, somebody who's born again, it said he is a new creation. See, you got to put that consciousness on. You got to live in this world like you're a new creation and quit living like you, because people and everything else will try to bring up your past. They'll try to throw up what you were in your past. They'll try to say what you were. He said, no, you're a new creation. He's a new creation. He is. He's not going to be. He is. See, you're a new creation. That's what you are. That's not what you're trying to become. Many people are trying to become a new creation. Stop that. Start doing what the Bible says. Say what the Word says about you. You are a new creation. That's what you are. Agree with God will help you a lot. Agree with God. I am a new creation. He says, what? Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Oh, you go around to churches today. I sat in a church, a Spirit-filled church, and the pastor used to always talk about the old nature trying to get back on you all the time. I'm sorry, I ain't buying that junk. It says here, old things passed away, behold, all things have become new. Glory to God, I'm new. Old things ain't crawling up on me no more. This is why these 12-step programs, that's why they take so long to try to change anything. Because it takes 12 steps. If they'd have just read the scriptures and told these people that they're different instead of, no, you're saved, but you're still an old drug addict, you're still an old this, you're still an old that. No, you're not. You start calling yourself by what the Word calls you. Hallelujah. Old things passed away. Well, I'll tell you, the old things just keep coming after me. No, old things passed away. The reason the old things come after you is because you've been calling them. You've been calling them, so don't blame them. They're just showing up. All things passed away. Behold, all things have become new. He said, now look, all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, having given us the ministry of reconciliation. I want you to see, here's one thing. See, we're going to deal with the areas of righteousness, and right here we are touching in it. Reconciliation is about righteousness. You have been reconciled to God. You're not going to be. Reconciled just means this, that there's nothing between you and God. God reconciled our account. We didn't. You couldn't reconcile your account because you couldn't save yourself. The sin and the nature of sin, there was no way of us to get rid of it. There was no way to do it. It required somebody without sin to be able to deal with it. So God came and dealt with it himself. And he dealt with the sin issue. And he reconciled through Jesus Christ you to him. There's nothing between you and God. God ain't mad about nothing. God isn't up there, you know. He says here, what? We're reconciled and we have the ministry of reconciliation. Now, what is the ministry of reconciliation? In other words, this is what we're supposed to be telling sinners. And this is what the church and very few evangelists ever tell a sinner. They always tell the sinner, you old scumbag, God's out to get you. You better hurry up, get saved, or you'll end up in hell. Listen, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Listen, not imputing their trespasses to them and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. We're supposed to be telling the sinner that God has dealt with the sin issue. It's done. We're telling them it's not. You've got to ask him to forgive you. Well, see, even the Christians believe that. No wonder we haven't been bold in the presence of God. We've bought what they preach. Why didn't we read the Bible? Nah, we listen to what people told us instead of reading the Bible. So we can't blame them. We were lazy. Because he tells us here, we're supposed to tell people, tell the sinner, you know, God's reconciled to you. You know, he ain't mad at you no more. God dealt with the sin issue. You call on the name of his son, you can be born again. The sin issue has been already taken care of. The sin issue has been fixed. The thing that separated mankind from God is no other. Any sinner could come boldly to the throne of grace to receive mercy. He can come and get salvation. Any sinner could just be, he don't have to wail and cry. I always saw these, you know, sometimes you get people wail and cry when it came to getting saved. I didn't wail and cry 2 seconds. I didn't feel bad or rotten or anything like that. I knew what I was. I accepted Jesus Christ as my home Savior. I got more saved than the people bawling, because those people that bawled, they ain't even around no more following Christ. Crying and all that kind of stuff isn't what makes it. It's understanding what the Word says. I could come boldly and get born again. God was going to have mercy on me. Why? Because the sin issue was already dealt with. The sin issue. And that's what we're supposed to do. Now listen what it says. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God was pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So we're asking people, God's reconciled to me. What we're dealing with now is people being reconciled to God. Because God's not against anybody anymore. God's dealt with the sinners. He's not against. So what do I do? When you and I got born again, what we did is we reconciled ourselves to God through accepting Jesus Christ. That's what we did. That's the only way you're going to reconcile yourself to God is get born again. You can't do it through works, can you? Now listen to he said this. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. And why did he do it? So he could forgive your sin? Huh. Paul's messed up. Paul's all messed up. Paul didn't say so he could forgive your sin. He said that you might become the righteousness of God in him. Jesus reconciled mankind to himself so man could have God's righteousness. So man could be as righteous as God is. You see, if you try to just understand that with your human mind and through past religious teaching, you'll go tilt, tilt, tilt. Your eyes will blink and stuff. You know, it's like on the computer, you'll get a blue screen after a while. You'll be going, rrr. See, somebody restart his computer again. He's out there. He's going somewhere. You don't understand this stuff with your mind, because religion has a hard time telling anybody that you could be as righteous as God is. Is why? Because most is preached a false new birth. All people preach is you get and God forgives you of your sin, and that's what you got. You became a child of God, but you're not really as good as he is. He couldn't give you. It would never happen. Why did God do? What was the ministry of reconciliation for? Is so you could have God's righteousness. You and I having God's righteousness, you and I can approach God without any kind of fear, any kind of worry, any kind of anxiety. If you miss it, you can just run boldly to the throne of grace. Said, here I am, Dad, I messed up. He ain't got the gun out, going to shoot you when you get there. What he has there for you is mercy. And he said, if you got yourself a problem, you need grace to help you out of this thing, I got grace here too to help you out of it. Why? Because that's what righteous people deserve. We're not righteous because of our works. We're righteous because of our faith. It's in the one that we trust in. Most people have trust in their own works and trust in themselves. And that's why they can't approach God. I can approach God at any time and under any circumstances based on a righteousness by faith. And that's what we need to... See, that makes you bold. That's why I can sit down and say, I know if I stand on this scripture, I know God will do this for me. He doesn't do it for me because Ed's wonderful. He does it because He's wonderful. It's because He's glorious. He's given me the righteousness. And He said to me, through Jesus Christ, whatever I ask the Father in His name, He'll do it for me. He does it based on His righteousness. We'll go in next week. We'll look at some scriptures dealing with the righteousness of God. Why God did what He... God was righteous in what He did. And if we're going to take His righteousness, the Bible talks about us having the gift of righteousness. It's a gift that you got from God. Accept it. I encourage you to accept it. Most of Christianity never accepts it. They never will accept it. Preachers will try to preach it out of you. Oh, no, you can't. Oh, no, now, you know, you can't. I was reading a thing online, and a guy said on there, I was reading this thing, and they were talking about a certain thing, and a guy made mention about this preacher. He said, no Christian has the righteousness of God. And I thought, well, my God, you aren't a Christian yourself. If you don't believe you have the righteousness of God, how'd you get saved? What'd you get? He did, probably religious. See, they can't believe it. You know, just like that poor girl I talked about in the beginning. She goes to a church. You're just a sinner. God forgave you, but you're still just an old sinner. Well, see, there's no righteousness. They didn't preach the gospel to her. If they would have preached the gospel to her, she would have had a righteous consciousness. What do? They preached her salvation will still leave you with a good old sin conscience. You still ain't good enough. You're still not good enough. The power of the gospel is righteousness. You can't live by faith without it. You have to be able to approach God. God wants you today to be able to approach Him and come into His presence. He wants you to walk into His presence today boldly and confidently. He don't want you trying to skirt around behind the throne and then go call a prayer chain, see if maybe they could get up there and they'll ask Him for you and then maybe you'll get it. Maybe he can, you know, I'll tell you what, I don't want to be tied to prayer chains. I want to be able to go God myself. You know, prayer chains and things like that, praying with people are good for people starting off, don't understand. But we should come to the place where we can take a hold ourselves. God will hear me. He will answer my prayer. When I call to Him, He hears me. He's listening to me. See, when John said, you ask Him anything according to His will, you should know this. Not try to believe it. You should know it, that He hears you. And if you know that He hears you, then you know you have the petition that you requested. That's why many people's prayers never get answered, because they don't know if He heard them. And they're trying to believe God for the answer, and they're not even sure He heard. Do you know God heard you? Well, I hope so. Well, forget it. He didn't. It wasn't by faith. Ain't nothing for Him to do. When we go to God according to His will, you're supposed to know the fact. You're supposed to have the confidence. Righteousness knows this, that if I call on Him, He hears me. I'll tell you what, God will put the brakes on everything just to listen to it. And if you don't think like that, I feel sorry for you. God will listen. I always like, Rod McLean would always say, you know, I'm God's favorite. I'm His favorite kid. And I know what Rod was talking about with it. Rod has great confidence. God will listen to him. You know, he had his grandkids. A couple times the devil tried to steal grandkids from him. Rod McLean makes this statement all the time. The devil will never, never kill. He said, I'll never bury one of my grandkids. He had a couple grandkids. I mean, the devil tried his best to bury him and couldn't do it. and the whole family get all worried and praying. And he said, I ain't praying about nothing. He said, the devil can't steal my grandkids. I ain't burying none of them. And they didn't realize all their praying was worthless. His statement of faith had more to do with what happened than all their praying. But see, you know what? His confidence in the presence of God. God hears him in response. He made his statement, the devil ain't robbing for me. And he knows God will back that up. And see, we want to get, you know, that's where I want to live. Don't you want to live there? Or where do you want to live? Do you want to live on the place of, oh, my word's trouble's coming. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? I don't want to live there. I want to live in that place. I want to be at that place that when I call, I know God's listening to me. I want to know that place when I ask anything according to His will, He's hearing me. And I know He is. And if I know He's hearing me, then I know I got it. Hallelujah. I got it. It's mine. It belongs to me. See, I want to live at that place. And we do that because of righteousness. Have I been made righteous? We'll go on teaching more on this. But the whole point of it is if we don't take a hold, it's like having a key to whatever it is. If you don't have the right key, you know, it ain't going to open things up for us. It goes, and people are trying to do things. People are trying to, just because I know a lot of scriptures, but just because, you know, people, you know, get 40 scriptures on things and, you know, just trying to their best to try to get a hold to believe something. Man, I'm going to tell you what, it's good to get around to believe something, get a hold of it, but you got to come to the place, and has to come the time that when my words are spoken, God has heard me, that I can be bold in His presence. He'll do exactly what He said. That I have a God, He can't lie. Your God can't lie. Your God can't lie. He can't. Hallelujah. And you want to have that boldness of what He said. If He said He gave you His righteousness, then you got it. It's yours. Hallelujah. Take it. Let's stand to our feet.